What's going on, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. I am here with we've stapled her the queen of Grizzly Twitter. Young Harry is on with us. We got a very special guest. We got a lot to get into. We're going to talk some Grizzlies, but Young Harriet is known for her top analysis. She's got some of the best basketball knowledge in the game. So you guys are in for a treat today. Young Harriet, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. Let's talk some Grizz. So what are your thoughts overall just on the offseason? There's been a lot of debate amongst Grizz Twitter, especially about how the Grizzlies handled this offseason. What would you, if you had to put a grade on it, what would you grade and then kind of give your breakdown of why?
Okay. Let me just say this. Initially, and when I say initially, after the draft, I was in a full-blown panic. But after looking at it and evaluating and reevaluating some of the things that have been said and some of the moves that have been made, I'm going to give the Grizzlies a C.
Okay.
Because for the simple fact is, I believe that the veterans are going to be missed. And as Grizzlies fans, you know, and people who are associated with the Grizzlies, working with the Grizzlies, you knew what you were going to get with De'Anthony Melton and Shlomo. But there's so much unknown about the rookies draft class that it just made not only me nervous, but Grizz Nation as a whole nervous, I believe. So I'm going to give it a C because we don't really know what the result is going to be, and we're not going to be happy until the end of the season.
Right. That's a good point. And that's about what I give it to. I'd say about a C. So what were some of the things that you liked about what they did this offseason?
The one thing that I did like during the draft, they did seem to address the need for shooting with the acquisition of Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, and for the most part, I'm going to say Vince Williams and Kennedy Chandler. I think those rookies can fill in adequately. It just depends on their roles, how their roles develop within the system throughout the season. I think they can fill in adequately in terms of shooting for the Grizzlies and what the Grizzlies need within the function of the offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I tell you one thing, I'll throw this in too, and I don't know how you feel about it, but they seem to go for long wingspans. They seem to notice that Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton sort of had a lot of the deflections with their wingspans last year, and they seem to try to want to recreate that, even though they didn't have those players. That seemed to be a priority, at least in the draft.
And that's a good point because I looked at it, you know, I try to look at everything, pay attention to everything. And I think the only guy with a, you know, even wingspan that they drafted was Jake LaRavia. And he's 6'8 with a 6'9 wingspan. But the rest of the young men that they drafted, they have over a plus three positive wingspan. And I think that can only benefit the Grizzlies, especially on the defensive end.
Absolutely. 100% agree. So what about the concerns that you have about the offseason?
Well, I had two going into the draft specifically. Number one, I didn't want them to draft another short point guard. And I had gotten into it with a couple of Grizzlies fans because they were really championing Kennedy Chandler and the possibility of him playing behind both Tyus Jones and Ja Morant because, you know, they wanted, not only was he a Memphis kid, but he had the ability to make shots and play that point guard, that third point guard position that the Grizzlies have needed since Ja Morant has become the starting point guard. I just didn't want a shorter point guard. And number two, I think they still do need more size on the interior. Brandon Clark, for everything that he is, he's still an undersized power forward in the center. I think they need one more big man. And I think there were some big men, not only in the draft, but on the open market that the Grizzlies could have gone after, but they chose not to at this particular time.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. I think that probably is. I know that's that right now, my number one concern is the rim protection. And that speaks to exactly what you're talking about that interior defense is that seems to be missing to me, especially without Jaren Jackson Jr. and that injury. Did that injury, obviously it's going to make you more concerned, but about the concerns you did have, how did that shape what you think about the offseason now? Now that the draft's done and summer league's over, where do you fit right now?
Like my viewpoint of this offseason continues to shift because I don't think necessarily they're done. Now, if the Grizzlies go in with this particular roster, I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on Santi Aldama. If you follow me into a Grizz, a grindhouse space, after, you know, a post game space, I'm a Santi Aldama fan. However, I don't think he can play a lot of minutes at that power forward spot. And even though Xavier Tillman has some experience, he's still undersized to me. So I'm a little bit worried, but hopefully, even though there won't be rim protection, there'll be a little bit better rebounding. And that way, as long as they can grab the ball and go, I'm fine with it, if that happens to be the case.
Right.
But Jaren definitely will be missed.
I know that's for sure. They say right now he's supposed to be gone 4 to 6 months. There was a report Jaren put out, well, not a report, but Jaren put out on Instagram that his foot surgery is coming along well. We'll ultimately see what that means. It's always hard to know exactly what that means with the Grizzlies organization. They do tend to lean to Aaron on the side of caution when it comes to these injuries. So we'll see what timeline it is that Jaren truly can't come back in. But in my opinion, it does leave a lot more question marks with that injury, not knowing exactly how long for sure he will be gone. But you mentioned the pressure on Santi Aldama. I think that the pressure that they, if they don't make another move, if the roster stands as it is, I think that puts a lot of pressure on these rookies, like your Jake LaRavias, and maybe even David Roddy. That Kyle Anderson role, I think, is very much so something that's missed. And Jake LaRavia is, I think he was drafted to be the more direct Kyle Anderson type replacement. So what are your thoughts on our rookie class right now? How do you think they fit in with the Grizzlies? And do you think they can help us this season? Let's start with Jake.
Go ahead.
I was saying, let's start with Jake maybe.
I absolutely do think they can help overall, and I do believe they will help overall. Jake LaRavia is interesting because I think he kind of phoned it in. I've been looking at some of his highlights from not only Wake Forest, but this recent pro-am that he was in, and I don't know if he was out of shape or whatever the issue was, whether Corona really affected him to that extent. Mm-hmm. But I do think Jake LaRavia is going to help the Grizzlies tremendously, especially when you're talking about Ja coming downhill and all of those eyes on Ja. And Ja's ability to find that man off one dribble pickup that he does and, you know, pass it over to the corner, I think that is going to be invaluable because as long as you don't make Jake LaRavia move off his spot and as long as he's square to the basket, he was doggone near automatic. And that right there, that's invaluable. Those are invaluable points for the Grizzlies, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I feel a lot more comfortable about his ability to slide in and fit in with this team before the summer league. The summer league did give me some concerns. Now, there's some reasons why Jake LaRavia didn't take that many shots, but I was personally concerned with how his shot attempts decreased as he got more minutes. To me, that was a little nervous. The Grizzlies is a great organization to grow, especially with your shooting, though. So I think overall he'll be okay, but especially with the first half of this season, it does concern me. Where do you fall with that? Did that concern you at all, or are you pretty straight on?
It is concerning to a certain extent. I'm just going to be honest. I was in a complete panic when I saw him after the first game.
Yeah.
However, what I'm banking on is that he will be better once he's surrounded by better players. Mm-hmm. And he is not going to be required to do what he may have been required to do in summer league. And the relationship between he and Desmond Bane, I think that is going to bear fruit. Because if you remember during Desmond Bane's rookie campaign, Desmond Bane, he didn't go through it to the extent of what Jake LaRavia went through it with. But Desmond Bane had a hard time initially getting his shot off. So what I'm hoping is that he gets in the gym with Desmond Bane. You know, they continue that bond that they clearly have, being from Indiana. And Desmond Bane takes him under his wing in the same way, in the same manner that Dylan Brooks took Desmond Bane under his wing. I think it's going to work out extremely well for not only Mr. LaRavia, but the Grizzlies as a whole when it comes down to needing a perimeter shooting. And he doesn't seem to be afraid of the moment. That's one thing I can say already.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a great point. And one thing I want to point out about is, as you and I both talk through these rookies and these draft picks, I think it's important to keep in mind the Grizzlies' strategy when you're talking about how this draft class projects or what they could be. From my view, I feel like they were looking for complementary players. I don't really think that they were going into this draft looking for the highest ceiling players. I'm not sure that Jake LaRavia, you draft him for his ceiling. You draft him for what he is, what you hope he can add and contribute to your team in terms of his well-roundedness, his ability to rebound and at least defend from a team perspective, his ability to shoot. I feel like that sort of was a common theme. And I don't know how what your thoughts on that, but that's sort of, when I'm thinking about the Grizzlies in this draft, it's important, at least for me, to keep in mind what the Grizzlies were trying to do when they were making these draft picks.
And I totally agree with that sentiment. If you go back and you look at what the Grizzlies have done in the draft, that's exactly what they did. They already had their superstar in Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. They drafted very well, not only with Ja Morant, but with Brandon Clark as well, because without Brandon Clark, I don't know if the Grizzlies would have won that Minnesota series, if we're being totally honest. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and then you take a swing with Desmond Bane. You know what I mean? That shooter that everybody was looking for to put beside Ja Morant. And you take another swing with Santi Aldama and Zaire Williams, that upside swing that everybody, you know, wants to say, if this kid develops correctly and he shoots the ball like it appears that he can shoot it, he will be another piece to put alongside of Ja and Jaren. I think this particular draft class is exactly what you said. Going into this playoff series, the Grizzlies needed consistent shooting from the wing. And that's exactly what the Grizzlies drafted, consistent shooting from the wing. Now, it may not have come in the package that the Grizzlies fans and some of the Grizzlies media expected, but the Grizzlies front office drafted the top three shooters, in my opinion, out of the entire draft. Now, they athletically, they may not be the smoothest out of the bunch, but they are, in my opinion, the three out of the six best shooters in this draft play for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty impressive statement. And if you are a concerned Grizzlies fan, hopefully that's something that'll reassure you. And I think that's something that shooters shoot. So I think that's something that translates to the NBA even if there is a slight adjustment period. So I'm 100% with you on that. So we'll continue with the rookie breakdowns. We already talked about Jake LaRavia a little bit. So let's talk about David Roddy. And, you know, the Grizzlies did trade the Anthony Melton. They traded up to get David Roddy. So what are your thoughts on that move that the Grizzlies did to trade the Anthony Melton, trade up in the draft to get David Roddy? The thoughts about the move and your thoughts about David Roddy as a player and how he fits into what the Grizzlies want to do.
And I'm a person, when it comes to the Grizzlies, I run off pure emotion. And then I have to sit back and think about it analytically. I did not like the move initially because I don't think it was a good value for giving up D'Anthony Melton because of everything that he did for the team and his ability to affect the game, especially on the defensive end. And that's a lot coming from me because I felt like if anybody was going to get traded this season, whether it was going to be in season or this offseason, it was going to be D'Anthony Melton because I felt like that his play was inconsistent from the regular season to the playoffs. Now, that being said, with the addition of David Roddy, I love David Roddy. I call him PJ Harden. That's what I call
him. I like that.
I think that that gentleman has dog in him, and he won't be scared to mix it up. And I think the Grizzlies need a little bit of that along with his scoring. When you put him on the ball, he is doggone near unstoppable for his size and his agility and his ability to read the floor. His passing is an underrated skill that I think the Grizzlies coaching staff they're going to discover this year, and they're going to be able to utilize that as part of their offense. And I love the kid. I do personally, because I think he has so much in his bag and so much game development left. I think he might be the gem of the entire class. I think if the Grizzlies can get two out of the four of them to perform at a high level in a role, you know, something similar to Zaire Williams, I think we could call this a win for this draft class, no matter where the Grizzlies finish as a whole this year.
I completely agree with that, especially that statement about the two. I really, because I think that's what you need. I think this team needs two consistent, reliable role players who have the strengths of, like you said, shooting, passing, although you kind of want to be well-rounded on this Grizzlies team. But yeah, so that's interesting about David Roddy. Do you have any concerns about his size? Do you think a lot of people say that they're skeptical about him because of his size? Do you have any concerns about how that'll fit on the NBA floor?
I do. Those same concerns people had with PJ Tucker. Mm-hmm. The same concerns they had with Chuck Hayes. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
But he has shown the ability to offensively affect the game, unlike either one of those gentlemen can at this point from what we have seen. And those are encouraging signs for me. Now, in terms of defense, you know, his lack of length, yeah, we're going to see it once he goes up against NBA-level competition. But until he's thrown in the fire, we won't know what type of help he's going to need.
Yeah, that's true. I actually was really encouraged. I would say I was most encouraged by David Roddy. The way he started off the summer league was he looked totally lost. I mean, he just looked – I'm not going to say he didn't look like he belonged on the NBA floor, but he very much so looked a part of a rookie he was trying to be.
The game was too fast for him. And
yes.
One other encouraging thing for Grizz Nation to hold on to, and you will know this being a Seahawks fan, that David Roddy used to be a quarterback. And you That's can't right. play quarterback if you don't have good feet and good yeah. balance. So he is used to this. He's just doing it as a basketball player now. So that's encouraging as well. Like I said, I love David Roddy because I think David Roddy is a dog.
Yeah, right now I've been calling him big body Roddy. Now I'm a fan of it, especially with,
Yeah.
like you said, I can see as the as he got more comfortable, you started to see that aggression. You started to see that mentality. If nobody else will step up, I would step up or make this explosive dunk or make this play or make this pass. It sort of you really saw his evolution pretty quickly. And that showed me a lot about just sort of who he is as a player from a mentality standpoint. Really, if you got that mentality in on a part of the Grizzlies, that's a big part. I mean, you're going to have the skill sets and everything, but you want to fit the mentality and the culture to know when to take your shots and when not to take your shot. That's huge on his team. So, yeah, excellent point.
Like I said, I call him Roddy Piper. I have a couple of nicknames for David Wright. David Wright might end up being my favorite player out of this entire class. That's aside from Junior. But I think he has potential to be exactly what the Grizzlies need.
Right, right. So let's move on to the player who you originally, when the draft first started, you said you did not want a small point guard. Now they did get Kennedy Chandler at a very good value in the second round. So since they did get a very small point guard, but they re-signed Tyus, where's your head at with it now?
Okay, so I've been going back and forth with Kennedy Chandler, honestly, because during the preseason, I just didn't see what everybody was saying, you know. And I went back and I looked at some of his, you know, highlights and tapes of games, and I could see why it may have been a little bit more difficult for him, because he was playing off the ball with Zakai Ziegler at the University of Tennessee. So there is going to be a little bit of adjustment. And he is also 19 years old. You know, so, and for him to be able to play behind Ja, somebody he clearly respects and clearly loves, I think that's going to benefit him more. And it's going to allow Ja to take more of a leadership role.
Right.
You know, especially when they're on the court together, in the way that Ja and Tyus already communicate, that's only going to help Kennedy more. Kennedy Chandler has every ability to become the next whoever he wants to be. I just think he's small, you know, and he definitely will be playing behind Ja at some point. And I think people should get ready to go see him in junior in South Haven, because if he can develop consistency, whether it be passing, hitting that passing pocket to junior, coming off of that pick and roll, especially at the free throw line, and if he can develop a consistent mid-range jumper, he is going to be playing for the Grizzlies more sooner rather than later. And that's, you know, that's ultimately the hope for him as a player.
Something I've seen in him, his defensive ability really flashed. I think that really gives him a spot, potentially a future on his roster. If he can do that, like you said, if he can get a mid-range game, that's great. But even if he could just get a layup package, like similar to like Ja Morant has, he's not going to get the exact layup package because he's not Ja. But if he can just figure out ways, utilitarian ways to finish at the basket, I think that'll go a long way just with his speed and athleticism. He can really get downhill really, really fast. And I think that's it's an elite trait if he can just learn how to work with it in his size, given his size in the NBA. That's going to be.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah. That's going to be one of his skills.
I absolutely agree with you. And you can see him trying to figure it out, you know, during the summer league.
Right. And he's one of the right players. That's for sure. I may be worried about him if he was on some other team, but with Ja, and a lot of people, this is just a quick side note. A lot of people do think that a lot of the things Ja does is box office and it's flashy and it's this, but a lot of it he learned how to do because he was so small. He was so small. So that layup package that he's got, he had to learn how to finish at the rim. He had to learn how to finish at the rim in a variety of ways based off what the defense gave him. People don't really realize that, but Kennedy Chandler's going to have to do the same thing to get that same package, not just because it looks cool, but because that's how you're going to have to finish at the rim amongst, you know, 7 feet players in the NBA.
And you said something that's very, very important. His defensive acumen, I believe, is going to get him on the floor, but his reach is going to help him finish around the basket. And I'll give you an example. Ja Morant can not only go over you, most of those times Ja Morant goes around people.
Yep.
With their reach. And if Kennedy Chandler can develop that package, like you were saying, I think he's going to be a valuable asset as a backup to Ja Morant and his contract, as opposed to what Tyus Jones is making at $15 million a year for the next 2 years. That's a value that you cannot beat in a backup point guard.
100%. 100%. So our last official draftee is Vince Williams Jr. And I remember hearing you talk about Vince Williams Jr. when we drafted him in the Grizzly Spaces. Your analysis on him and just what you thought he would be for this team. So I'm curious to hear your breakdown, you know, rehear your breakdown and see, you know, I was a little underwhelmed by him, I'll be honest, at the summer league. And that could just be because, you know, I'm sure it wasn't a top priority for the Grizzlies, but what are your thoughts on Vince Williams Jr.?
I'm going to say this. After the first game, I was hyped. I said, okay, we finally got somebody on this team that don't do anything but hoop. He sleeps, and he hoops. You know, I think one of the things that kind of hindered him is that he didn't have a defined role on this summer league team. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Grizzlies have an incredible amount of depth at the wing. And to start off Vince Williams' career, he's going to have to play the wing position. But where is he going to get time when you try to when you're trying to develop Zaire at the some shooting guard, very small doses of shooting guard and small forward? So where are you going to get time? And him being left-handed, that's just a man after my own heart. I think his length and his ability to handle the ball in the open court, once he gets down there in the Memphis Hustle system, I think he has an opportunity to be a player. They're just going to have to find playing time for him. He eats, he sleeps, and he hoops. He don't have time for what we're talking about.
I like it. I like it. And it's hard not to have raving reviews about Kenny Lofton Jr. I mean, he was the show of the summer league, really. He came and impressed in a big way. So, thoughts on Junior, as he likes to be called.
Oh, thoughts on Junior. Let me say this. Kenneth Lofton Jr. continues to impress me. And I know I'm just a Grizzlies fan, but he continues to impress me as a person who likes working, person who believes in going to the gym and practicing and honing your skill. Kenneth Lofton Jr. has done it without the lights being on him. He looks thinner now than he did in the summer league. That right there is hopeful to me. If the Grizzlies can somehow put somebody beside Jaren Jackson that can actually get a consistent bucket in the post, oh Lord. And Jaren doesn't have to do anything but worrying about running into the front of the rim, shooting threes, and protecting the basket, the Grizzlies might have something on their hands. Kenneth Lofton Jr., his bag is ever-expanding. He has, you know, he has guard handles, and it doesn't surprise me because before he hit his growth spurt, they said, I read somewhere, that he was a guard.
Yeah, he ran point, he said, growing up most of the time.
Right. So the continued maturation of his game, it's just beautiful to see. And for him, and I don't understand why he wasn't drafted, because if he is on the United States under 19 team, and he was the best player on that team, I don't see how Chet Holmgren got MVP. Then there should have been more credence given to his skill as a basketball player. We have seen several basketball players come in and not the ideal shape but they tend to dominate the league. And I think he has the bag and he has the work ethic to want to do so. On draft night, he has one of the most famous tweets in on the Grizz Nation. He's like, everybody gonna pay. I was like, yes.
I didn't see that one.
Yes.
I didn't see that one.
Yes, wow. On draft night when he wasn't drafted, Grindhouse Grizzlies and I, Grindhouse DM'd me. He said, did you see that? I said, yeah, did you see it? He said, everybody gonna pay. And Grindhouse, before we were talking about the draft, he was like, watch out for Kenneth Lofton Jr. If we get Kenneth Lofton Jr., we're going to be a problem. And you know, manifestation and the way manifestation in the universe works, we just happened to get, I call him Barkley Zeebo. I'm just excited for a kid who nobody thought, you know, he didn't fit your prototypical role of what an NBA player is supposed to be. And for him to get a shot and for him to dominate in the manner that he has, I'm excited for the kid. And he has to improve defensively, of course, but with the work and the developmental system that the Grizzlies have, I have no doubt that he's going to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. I really can't wait to see him in preseason. I'm super excited to see
him. Yeah, I'm going to say it right now. Killy and Tilly, it was nice knowing you, my guy. It was nice knowing you. Couple of them. I'm just going to be real. I can't be nothing else. Xavier Tillman, if you don't tighten up and figure out how to hit the top of the key three, it might be nice knowing you too. We're all family until you miss a bucket.
I like that a lot. But yeah, that's just the talent that he has. I mean, his talent is undeniable, and just with his work ethic, like you said, I just feel like he's gonna overcome any of the naysayers or the doubters. I just feel like he's got that work ethic to make it on this team. And the Grizzlies will give you a chance. If you prove you've got the talent and you prove you're willing to work hard and commit, this is the team to be on. So, especially Killian Tilly, he better be looking real close over his shoulder, because
I'm saying to myself, I don't know how you get hurt sitting on the bench, but okay.
I was wondering, you know, I've just found it strange that he didn't play in summer league. I'm like, did they not play him because they were scared he was going to get hurt again? Why is he not?
I do believe he had some type of back surgery.
Oh, boy.
So he had another procedure somewhere in there which didn't allow him to play. Mm. And that in itself, it opened the door for Junior. And Junior walked right in like he had been there.
Yep.
And that's what you want. And Junior just doesn't look like he's afraid of the moment. And he is ready for it. And when you have Ja Morant behind you and him setting the tone for the type of player that he is and the aggression and the passion that he plays with, how can you not? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that is our wrap-up of our junior class, of our draft class. So I said, Junior, I'm still got him on here. Still got him on the mind.
I understand. I cannot wait until preseason.
Get your hustle tickets, folks. Get the season tickets. It's worth the show this year. So let's talk about the Grizzlies as a whole. So now we got, because this offseason really was more about the rookies than it was anything else. There weren't a whole lot of other moves made. They re-signed Tyus. They had this draft class. And that's pretty much it. So given the context of where they are right now, because it's all we can grade, you don't know if they'll make moves or not. How do you predict that the Grizzlies will use their rotation?
I'm going to say this, and I don't know if people are going to agree with me. The listeners are going to agree with me. I think the Grizzlies are going to use the first 15 to 20 games to figure their rotation out, because there are still so many unknowns with the addition of the rookies. And also remember, Zaire and Santi are going to be stepping in a role that they're unfamiliar with too, and they're going to be required to do more. And once you're required to do more, of course, that's more pressure. I do expect the Grizzlies to finish in the top six. Do I think they're going to finish number two? No, I do not. You have to account for other teams getting better. And when I do say getting better, I do mean by getting back injured players, specifically mm-hmm. Denver and the Clippers. And even, you know, and this is blasphemy coming from me, the LA Lakers.
Well, it's hard to come. I mean, really, it's, yes. it's bad. That's damn bad as they were last year. It's just kind of, you got to come better than that.
Okay. Do you hear me? I was over here with light and sage and praying for LeBron James' ankles. As you been, don't do it, brother. But, you know, I think the Grizzlies are going to be okay. I think Taylor Jenkins is going to be better in terms of his in-game adjustments, which is something that I think it took him entirely too long to do last season.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that Desmond Bane is going to take another step. Ja Morant, I don't think Ja is going to let, you know, the Grizzlies fall that far.
Yeah.
You know, and people have, you know, harped on the Grizzlies not having veterans. Oh, the Grizzlies don't have veterans. The Grizzlies do have veterans. What do you call Ja Morant is going into his fourth year. Now, he is only 23, you know, by number, but he's a four-year NBA veteran. Jaren Jackson is a five-year NBA veteran. So, that, and with that, there comes a certain expectation of leadership and know-how and showing these rookies what the standard of Memphis Grizzlies basketball really means. So I'm looking forward to the season. I don't think they're going to finish number two, but I really don't care about that. As long as they finish like in the top six, preferably in the top four, so the Grizzlies can have home court advantage at some point in the playoffs, because I do think the Grizzlies need to learn how to win their initial playoff game.
Yes. It's a great point. That's,
you know,
I 100% agree. I 100% agree with you on. I'm thinking top six. I would love top four. I would really love top four if they're able to do that. And one thing I'm interested to see if this changes. Last year, when Ja had his biggest games, sometimes the rest of it still wouldn't necessarily translate to wins. I'm curious if him having those bigger games will translate to wins more, because that's really what's going to be needed in order for the Grizzlies to deal with this span of not having Jaren Jackson Jr. It's going to take Ja having the big games, but it's going to take him having the big games and them still winning.
But see, and you are right where I was. I think they're still, you know, people are so enamored by Ja jumping and Ja making a highlight play. Ja still has a lot of maturation to do in terms of him being a point guard of a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
Ja Morant can go out and get 30 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds in his sleep. That's not what is going to be the winning formula for the Grizzlies. Can you get Jaren Jackson when he comes back? Can you put him in the position to be the most successful player and the most effective player he needs to be in order for him to be dominant for the Grizzlies? Can you get Desmond Bain the ball in his shooting pocket? Can you attract enough attention to get Jake LaRavia those wide open three-point shots so he doesn't have to move? Because when he is square to the basket, he is catch. Can you put Steven Adams in a position to where if he is playing in the pick and roll, you can drop that little pocket pass right where he needs it in order for him to just lay the ball up or dunk the ball? Those are the type of things that I want to see from Ja in his ability. He needs to improve his ability to move off the ball. Like, it's easy to guard you when you're standing still in the corner. But how can you use the attention that you attract to benefit the other members of your team? And I think once he finds that balancing act, the Grizzlies are on a trajectory to be dominant for years to come.
I 100% agree. And my thoughts on this season is, I don't think they're going to be number two. I'd be very surprised if they were number two, especially in the league this upcoming year. I can see a world where they have a worse regular season, but they're positioned to make a better playoff run. And I feel like that's what matters more, just with the moves that they've made this offseason, like you said, to emphasize more consistent shooting. That in itself does a lot for the playoff capabilities or the playoff longevity once they get started in the postseason. And one thing about it, I mean, the Laravian and Roddy, they got some beef to them too. So if they can learn how to set some screens, I'll say it again, if they can learn how to set some screens, that can also give another very important component to the half-court offense that they'll need in the postseason as well, because a lot of the success of the Grizzlies last season was off of things that wouldn't necessarily translate as much to the playoffs. And I feel like they're setting themselves up a little bit differently this upcoming year.
And I think that's where the importance of Steven Adams comes in.
Right.
You know, people tend to forget his contribution. One of the best things about Steven Adams is his ability to set screens. What are they going to look like when David Roddy, Jake LaRavia, and even Junior get in a lab with Steven Adams? Steven Adams, his tutelage has already helped Jaren. And Jaren was in his fourth year. So what benefits is Steven Adams going to prove out when he gets those rookies and he says, this is how we operate as big men within the function of the offense? I look forward to it, because the screen setting and the pick and rolls during the summer league, it was almost non-existent.
Right. That's just something I definitely noticed. And I feel like that would change, you know, in the regular season. Of course, when you got Coach Taylor Jenkins coming, you got your more talented players coming in as well. But that will be something that they can learn those skills, that bodes even more well, because this team, that it's shown that rookies can contribute in the postseason, not in big ways. Desmond wasn't out here saving the day against the Warriors in the play-in, but he played a contributing role, as did Xavier Tillman, as did Zaire Williams last year. So I think, and if you're looking for them to play just sort of a small within their role, contribute, especially if you're just saying go out there and shoot, that's exactly what this Grizzlies team needs. That's what they were missing against the Timberwolves. Couldn't hit any of the open shots. But if you got shooters out there that can consistently hit those shots, that makes for a totally different dynamic in the playoffs.
And hopefully, and I know we've been talking about the players a little bit, hopefully there is some variant in the play calling by Taylor Jenkins as well. During the Minnesota Timberwolves series, the Grizzlies were very successful out of the horns set. But it was only, you know, it wasn't run consistently enough, you know, for the Grizzlies to not only get a lead, but keep a lead before they're down, you know, 15 or 20, if you get where I'm coming from. So hopefully there is a variant in the play calling. I think it's just like give Ja the ball.
Right. I think it will be. And even in, like you said, the in-game adjustments, which matters so much with that first playoff game. Like you said, learning how to win at home, a big part of that is the play calling and the play adjustments in that first game, and not using the whole first game to experiment and feel your way through, but really coming out with a game, kind of trying to think ahead of the game. But even if you don't do that, the ability to adjust in-game quickly at halftime at the least and make the adjustments needed to go out and still win that first game. I think the Grizzlies are better poised through that this upcoming season, and that Jaren being back, the rookies having sort of a pretty good amount of playtime. I'm assuming a pretty good amount of playtime just throughout the regular season. I think that bodes well for a good playoff run. So I'm still optimistic about the outlook of overall where the team can go, even if there are questions about the regular season.
I'm not even gonna hold you, Candace. That 3 minutes in the third quarter of that first game where Taylor Jenkins substituted in on the entire bench into like the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter of that first game, essentially was the game.
Yep.
Hopefully, we won't, just like we want to see growth in the players in their games, we want to see growth in Taylor Jenkins as a play caller more and more so as a game manager, almost like a Jimmy Garoppolo throwing another
football reference. You win in my heart. You win in my heart.
Right. And I'm just gonna say this because I'm a Titans fan. I'm gonna say it. Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
If we could just get Taylor Jenkins, where if he can, manage the game in a manner to win the game instead of not lose the game,
mm-hmm.
I think it will do the Grizzlies more good than it will harm. I'm looking forward to see his growth too. And Dylan Brooks, he kind of hinted it in an interview. He said initially when Taylor Jenkins began coaching, he only had two plays. I said two. Two,
yeah,
like
he
one,
got
two.
A ball and run this pick and roll.
And now coming in this year, Dylan Brooks said his playbook and his the way he viewed the game has expanded. So hopefully again, that occurs this offseason and the Grizzlies will benefit from it.
Exactly. And I think it will. I'm pretty optimistic. So I think we cover a fair amount, a lot of the Grizzlies. You have any just kind of closing thoughts on the season or final words before we get ready to head out?
Thank you, first of all, for even having me on your initial show. It's going to do big numbers. You're going to do great things as usual. Y'all can follow me at Young Harriet. I will be in most of the Grizzlies post game spaces. I'm in all of the spaces because the Memphis Grizzlies do have haters. We do have an application. If you're ready to sign up, you can even sign up in the offseason. Season, the Memphis Grizzlies Hater Society will be making a return this season. And then I'm just looking forward to seeing the continued growth of this team, the continued growth of Ja Morant as a leader, to see Jaren Jackson live up to his full potential. And I'm ready to see them win, honestly.
Yep.
Not only for themselves, but for each other and the city, because the city deserves.
Well said. Very well said. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Young Harriet. Give your where they can find you one more time.
Okay, my Twitter is at Young Harriet, and that's YOUNGHARRIET. My Abby is of a young Draymond Green. That is me. I will be changing it during the beginning of the season, but until then, I'm gonna let the haters shine because that is what I believe the haters look like on the inside. Deal with it.
All right, and make sure you can check Young Harriet out on post game and just throughout as events happen on the Grizz Grindhouse. Grizz is going to give EJ a shout out. Grindhouse Grizzlies, if you're not already following @SpacesGrizzlies, be sure to follow that. And most importantly, you want to make sure you're following Sports Ethos. So you can follow me at Candace H901. Follow me at Candace H901. And be sure to follow the show Ethos Grizzlies. If you're not already, give us a like and a follow. Follow my guys, David and Isaac. I don't have their Twitter handles on me at the moment, but if you go to Sports Ethos, you'll be able to find them quickly. So shout out to David and Isaac. We appreciate Young Harriet, the Queen of Grizzlies Twitter, being on our show today. And we look forward to you next time. That's it, and we are gone.